Chapter 3. Dr. Seward's Diary. The Curse of the Vampire. 31 August. Arthur Holmwood, who is to marry Lucy Wessentrop at the end of September, has asked me to see her. She is not well. 2 September. I saw Lucy Wessentrop yesterday. I could not find any signs of any illness, but I was not happy with her appearance. She has changed a great deal since our last meeting. She is very pale, and her breathing is sometimes harsh and difficult. She complains of troubled dreams, which terrify her, but she cannot remember them in the morning. I have written to my friend, Professor Van Helsing, in Holland, asking him to see Lucy at once. He knows more about unusual diseases than anybody else in the world. 3 September. Van Helsing has been and gone. He, too, is worried about Lucy. She has lost a great deal of blood, he told me. This may be a matter of life and death. 7 September. Lucy's symptoms are worse. Van Helsing has come back. We were shocked when we saw her today. She was as white as chalk. Even her lips and gums were white. The bones of her face stood out prominently. Lucy did not have the strength to move or to speak. She will die if we do not give her blood now, he said. Arthur arrived as we spoke, and he agreed to give Lucy some of his blood. Van Helsing performed the blood transfusion well and quickly. Life came back into Lucy's cheeks, but during this time, the black ribbon that Lucy had started to wear around her throat slipped. I heard Van Helsing gasp as he stared at the red marks on her neck. When Lucy was sleeping at last, I mentioned it to him. What do you make of that mark on her throat? I asked. I can make nothing of it, he answered. Not yet. But I want you to stay with Miss Wessentrop all night. She must not be left alone. I shall come back as soon as possible. Then we may begin. What do you mean? I asked in surprise. We shall see, he said as he hurried out. 10 September. I have been watching Lucy for the last 2 nights. She had no bad dreams, and the color came back into her cheeks. She was almost like her old self again. I was so tired last night that she made me promise to lie on the sofa outside her room. I did as she asked, and fell at once into a deep sleep. A hand on my shoulder woke me up this morning. And how is our patient? The professor asked. Well, when she left me, I told him. We went into Lucy's room together. As I pulled up the blind, my friend gasped in horror and pointed to the bed, his face ashen. My legs trembled. There on the bed lay poor Lucy, paler than ever. Her gums seemed to have shrunk back from her teeth. Her heart is beating, the professor shouted, but very weakly. We must give her more blood, now. 11 September. Lucy was much better after her second transfusion. Just as I arrived to visit her, a big parcel from abroad arrived addressed to the professor. Inside was an enormous bunch of flowers. These are for you, Miss Lucy, he said, but they are not to play with. I shall make a garland from them, one to hang at your window and the other to wear around your neck when you sleep. Lucy picked up the flowers, smelled them, and wrinkled her nose. Garlic, she said in disgust. Van Helsing's face became very serious. Do not joke, miss, he said sternly. This is for your own good. I watched my friend in surprise. He rubbed the garlic flowers over the windows, the doors, the fireplace, everywhere. When Lucy was ready for bed, he fixed a garland of garlic around her neck. Do not take it off, he told her. Do not open your window or your door. Promise.
I promise, Lucy said.
13 September. The professor and I visited Lucy this morning. Her mother told us that she was still asleep.
Oh, my treatment is working, the professor cried.
You cannot take all the credit, Lucy's mother said. I went in when she was asleep. The room smelled dreadful.
It was the flowers, I think. I opened the window to let in some fresh air. The professor's face had turned gray as he listened. When Lucy's mother had gone, he sobbed like a child. Then we ran up to Lucy's room. This time the professor did not gasp as he saw Lucy lying pale on her bed.
Just as I expected, he muttered.
And without another word, he started to transfuse blood into her veins. After another hour, Lucy woke up fresh and bright, and none the worse for her terrible ordeal.
What was happening?
I knew that the professor would only tell me when he was ready. He returned to Holland, leaving me to watch and wait. And a box of fresh garlic arrived every day for Lucy. 18 September. I received this telegram from Holland, 22 hours late. 17 September. Dawn. Do not fail to watch over Miss Wessendra tonight. Very important. Do not fail. I am on my way. Professor Van Helsing. I rushed to the Wessendra house at once, meeting the professor on the front doorstep. The house was silent. Nobody answered the doorbell.
I am afraid we may be too late, the professor said,